The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. We're open line today. In fact, we're open line for the rest of the week, apart from Thursday, when we're talking about health. Nick the pharmacist is in. Nick Kay will be along. Which is interesting because they're saying there's all sorts of flu that's going to arrive. Certainly, it seems to be a lot of it in the UK. I don't know about over here. What do you think about it? Are you taking any sort of precaution? Are you wearing a mask at all? I've seen a few people with masks around. Warnings about the onset of this virulent form of flu in the UK has prompted a greater call for people on the Isle of Man to take up vaccines. The availability of the jabs varies from pharmacy to pharmacy. Manxcare is advising that they might ask you to wear masks in clinical settings. Got any thoughts on this? Text, email, call and WhatsApp for the flu. That's the last thing you want at this time of year, isn't it? Thanks also. I got a message also in from Karen, who just said, watch out at this time of the year for... do you remember earlier on this year we were talking about hooky roofers? Sort of kind of unauthorized people promising to do work and what have you, dodgy dealers, if you like. So do be aware this time, particularly because there's been lots and lots of problems with roofs because of the gales recently. If you do have problems, and if somebody, you know, spots there's a tile missing, knocks on the door and said, oh, we can do that today, it'll only cost you a couple of £100. Be really, 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 really wary about it. And if you want more information, you can call the Office of Fair Trading on 686 500. 686 500. Lots of people had roofing work done earlier on this year and were thousands of pounds out of pocket, falling victim to scammers. Just be aware of that this time of year. It's one of those things, isn't it? Meds has been inundated, apparently, on the Isle of Man. This is 152. You've not been there, have you? 152. I just wonder what the situation is. Again, it's a horrible thing to have at this time of the year if you get laid low by the flu. But anyway, yesterday I think we were talking about the fact that the airport was less than ideal, with the fact that that plane coming inbound from Liverpool parked and then had to go back because they couldn't get the steps out because it was too windy. What do you think we should do about that? Paul said the airport is a national embarrassment. It's like an old ship caught in a storm about to founder on the rocks. Urgent government intervention and a closer hands-on approach with everyone work there should be under the same government management like it used to be. There are too many outsourcing, which has caused a breakdown of the airport, says Paul. Any thoughts on that? I mentioned this to the Chief Minister when he was here last week. And the possible, and again, it was just an idea, that the privatisation of the airport. Do you think it would be better if it were under commercial management? If there were, because the thing about, if you're in the world of commerce and free enterprise, there are sanctions for failure. If you get it wrong, then, you know, things happen. While we have a nationalised service, then do you ever get the feeling that anybody gets told off for it? I mean, maybe doing people a disservice, but I wonder if you could just have a thought about this. Any thoughts? And what do we do at the airport? The airport is, maybe this is just the way that things are nowadays. Maybe we're going to have to get used to things not being as spick and span as they used to be. You know, the airport flower beds are not what they used to be. There is used chewing gum trodden into the pavement outside the airport. The bus stop isn't what it could be. We've still got those for the sake of commerce, for the sake of money. You go into the, and this time of year it's particularly poignant. In the arrivals lounge, we still have those stickers. I think it's one of the wealth companies advertising all over there. Interesting, somebody sent a message in. One of their things says, we like to work with the community. And she said, well, how about taking the stickers down so we can see people coming in to visit the Isle of Man then, if you want to work with the community. And they've been there a while, but they never used to be there. And if you're a recent visitor to the Isle of Man, or you've recently come to work on the Isle of Man, those stickers in the arrivals lounge were never there. You could see people actually arriving. People used to absolutely love seeing their relatives come and say, you know, hi to them through the glass and wait while the luggage took a wee while to get sorted out, and then you would greet them. Just another little bit of the Isle of Man that flaked off and just fell to one side. We never got asked, by the way. The airport management, maybe DOI, just wanted the money and the advertising was sold. Nothing wrong with that. It's not illegal, but it's just not what it used to be. It's just one of those things that aren't what they used to be on the Isle of Man, and it happens to be at the airport. I've never had flu, says Daphne. Never had a flu injection, and I've never had flu. Really? Daphne, you must be absolutely... You must have the constitution of a... Anyway, here's Dewan with us now. Hi, Dewan.
How are you, Andy?
Terrific, thanks. Did you see that thing about the European Union, about the electric vehicles?
Go on, just remind me.
The EU's pushed back the deadline for the introduction of electric vehicles from 2035 to 2040 now. It follows significant pressure from car makers, unions and political leaders concerned about the economic fallout from bringing in EVs too soon. Apparently, it would have required all new cars from January the 1st, 2040, to be fully electric, with plug-in hybrids and range-extended electric models in a grey zone for now. But apparently, they're recalibrating their goals.
Well, there's a surprise. are we shocked here? Are we shocked? I think most of the islands are of the same opinion on this. But I'm phoning at the moment from a place where fuel is $2.63 a gallon, and to tax your car for the year is $40. Makes a big difference from the Isle of Man, doesn't it?
We just get used to paying a lot of money, though, don't we? And I think this maybe is something that it's worth getting perspective on this. You know, our electricity prices are big. We know we pay a lot of money for our electricity. We pay a lot of money for our services. And as you say, things like car tax and what have you. Lots of other places don't, Dewan.
No, they don't, Andy. I mean, it's been to quite a couple since I've been away, and they don't. You know, the UK gets taxed to the hilt. It wouldn't be so bad if the people in charge actually spent the money wisely. And this is why I think the public is so up in arms, is the amount of total waste on projects of taxpayers' money. And like we said, bearing in mind that how much that we actually pay for things compared to other nations. And until you travel around other places, you don't actually see it because you're in a little bubble. So, and I'm just going on to, there's quite a few things I want to catch up on, actually, because I've been off for a little while. But I just went through the 2 hours 58 of the referendum debate last week. And very interesting listening to the ministers talking. I just want to go back on to the one comment there from the MLC. Is it Gary Clueless? Oh, Gary Clewett, sorry, I got that wrong. I'm just looking at the way that he was talking during that meeting, and then this is someone who's an MLC who spoke to the upper council, who actually look and advise ministers of what to do. But I've got to give him the word conspiracy was used by Mr. Clulett quite a few times, many times actually. So I think I've got to give him the Manx BAFTA for that this year. So that's the DAFTA, Manx DAFTA, for the use of conspiracy. And I wonder really, he said, about the referendum, we were voted in to do this and it's a lack of respect for people. Well, bearing in mind that, did he get voted in? Just remind me.
Well, he got voted in by MHKs.
He got voted in by himself, but not by the people, correct. So, you know, the reason why people are up in arms at the moment and asking for a referendum is because the government is not doing their job properly in respect to the eyes of the people that live here. And that's the bottom line of why, because if everything was going smoothly and fine, they wouldn't be asking for a referendum to start with. So, you know, that has to be bear in mind. But the way that he spoke to Stu Peters, who, bearing in mind, was voted in and respectfully by the people, I thought was very derogatory. And we have Mr. Clewitt and Mr. Crane both saying that science has been decided. Well, since when did that happen? Science is always evolving, so it might be in their head decided for their agenda. And listening to Mr. Crane at Mr. Burgess's meeting some time ago, we know what Mr. Crane thinks. So, you know, I just... It beats me how people who are supposed to be over Timbal can speak like that.
Does it surprise you? Does it surprise you that they voted down Stu Peters' motion for a referendum to be tagged onto the general election?
No, it doesn't. And you know, kudos to Kate Lord-Brennan and Julie Edge and to Chris Thomas for speaking up about it and defending Stu Peters on his right to ask questions. No, it doesn't. It doesn't surprise me at all. And the fact that we're now going to leave the gas under the ground unexplored is another sign of being compliant to the big companies here. And I don't know how many times we've spoke about this on this programme. In fact, I think the first time that me and Julian talked about it, no one knew what an ESG or a DEI was. And this goes back to probably a conversation I had with Al Cannon on this program maybe 3 years ago, and the fact that they were compliant to what big companies want, which is ESGs, which is the fancy word at the moment that they're using, which again, like you said about the EVs, has fallen out of favor slightly. But this government wants to follow this agenda, regardless of its people. So again, if Utmost and all these companies are actually controlling the island, why do we need 36 sitting members in government if they're not going to work for the people of the island? What that basically said, and the other day with Claire Barber and her statement, that they're scared of these companies moving and leaving because, you know, what they say is God. And that really puts that into a nutshell, really, doesn't it? That the Isle of Man people are kind of second best when it comes to big decisions.
It's interesting. I mean, when you said it doesn't surprise you, it's a bit depressing, isn't it?
It's very depressing. It's very depressing because they're going to go along with something that is going to cost us a lot of money. And at the end of the day, these people will just walk away. They'll have their pensions. The people inside government who are advising them will have their pensions. And they can walk and move away. They'll have enough money to move off the island or do whatever they want to do. And be left, the people who live here all the time on the island, with the problem. So, you know, people do need to be mindful. And saying that the referendum bill is out of date as well. Well, the AG's office is squirreling through a massive amount of legislation. Half of it we don't need and half of it we don't want. So why has this referendum bill not been looked at earlier? Why has it not been updated and looked at? Because now when the time comes that we need it, it's now suddenly outdated and it's a piece of legislation that won't work. Well, there's enough people in the AG's office squiddling around there every day of the week that could do this, surely. So, you know, again, my point on that is, you know, they're wasting time and energy and taxpayers' money on things that they don't want or don't need.
And what else is there, Joe?
And just Just on the final point of the net zero and this argument about net zero, and people were asking what Stu Peters meant by net zero, and the whole thing has been stuck in one bag basically, and net zero is getting itself a little bit of a distasteful name. They talk about the money that's spent on houses. That used to be common sense, Andy. So why don't they bring in something like housing and building energy efficiency scheme, just that alone, and delay these net zero targets, which are going to make it really hard for us. We've got all these problems at the moment with the pay on the island, and we've got a lot of our own problems. We need to insulate ourselves, make sure our food sustainability is good, and all the other things that go along with it. So I think I'll leave it there for today. I've got a lot more to catch up on with a few shows that I've missed, but I'll be back on in the week. So I hope you've been good this year, Andy, and Santa brings you a present.
Oh, I'm never on the nice list, put it that way.
You and me both, but remember, it's not suitable these days to sit on Santa's lap.
Thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. Michael dropped a note in just to say, I think it's time, and if the government want to do something that will get support, it is time to ban potatoes that don't come from the Isle of Man. I mean, he could phase it in over, say, 5 years. But the Isle of Man used to grow thousands of tons of spuds. I mean, we housed all those internees in the First and Second War and what have you. Surely we've got enough land to grow our own spuds. And just say, you can't bring any spuds into the Isle of Man. None of the big supermarkets, doesn't matter what. Let's just grow our own spuds as an experiment to see whether or not we can organise our own food. Everybody on the Isle of Man loves spuds. We all love spuds, don't we? Let's face it. So do you think that, I mean, is that a bit too out there, or do you think it's an initiative just to say we will explore and see, never mind setting up a committee or getting an overseas consultant to come in, let's ban, this is Mike who's saying, let's ban foreign spuds and grow our own and eat our own. Give it a couple of years before we do it, and then let's see how it works out. Our food miles could be brought down drastically. And if we do it with spuds, what about everything else? What about other vegetables? Let's go to Robert now. Hi, Rob.
How you doing? It's fantastic. It's a splendid day on North Quay. How are you?
Well, very well. But watch out. It's going to be blowing a hoolie tomorrow.
Well, we'll forget about that. We'll enjoy it while we've got it.
Live for the moment.
Well, I'm just celebrating because it's a fantastic day and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm going to get my Christmas shopping with my papa later. So, we'll be down Strand Street doing a few things.
That's great.
It's just tickety-boo. You've just got to cop at the M, haven't you? You've just got to seize the moment.
Oh, crikey. Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth, Robert. It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. Is there a song to that?
There is. Quite a lot of them, but I'm not going to sing them.
Good luck. I hope you have a good day.
Good to hear from you. So, this flu virus that's knocking around, the flu vaccination this year, this is a WhatsApp in from 152, isn't a good match. Is this true? Is it too late to take it before Christmas? I watched a programme before. Oh, dear, where did you watch it? The health executive was saying it's no worse in the UK than other years. It just started earlier. Up your vitamin D intake and wash your hands. We've been talking to Carson's Pharmacy in Onchan and Ian Hemmingsley from Hemmingsley's Pharmacy in Windsor Road in Douglas.
It is vitally important that every individual takes the flu vaccination right now. The reason for that is that people cannot differentiate between cold and flu and between flu. I guarantee you that if you have got a flu, you won't be able to get up from the bed. And that is vitally important. It is imperative for our small island that people are protected. And it's not only for protecting themselves, it's not only protecting their loved ones, but it is vitally important that we protect our NHS, because the strain on NHS can be massive during these times in winter.
I've got a small amount left, but most of them have been allocated because we've had quite a lot of demand recently, but we are hoping to get further supplies in the next couple of days from our suppliers in England. I think, unfortunately, we've been hampered further by the disruption in sailings we've had over the last week or so, but hopefully some of the pharmacies will be restocked in the next few days.
Is this much more demand than you'd normally get?
Certainly seems to be an increase in demand recently. I think the last couple of weeks there's been an increase in cases in the UK, which has been reported in the news, and I think that's acted as a reminder to get people who usually get vaccinated who've forgotten to get booked in.
In the meantime, as a pharmacist, your advice would be undoubtedly you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely, yes. Certainly, as I said, the people who have got chronic conditions or are over 65 should definitely, if they haven't had one already, should definitely be trying to source one. The flu strain that's around at the moment is quite a nasty one that can wipe people out, so it's definitely worth having.
The words of Ian Hemmingsley from Hemmingsley's Pharmacy and Viral from Carson's Pharmacy in Oncombe. So is there a difference? And Viral said, if you get flu, you won't be able to get out of bed. Any thoughts on this? And is COVID still going on? I'm sure there is there a strain of COVID as well. I agree with what Juan said about the referendum debate, but let's not use derogatory names when talking about MHKs. It was an MLC. After we've banned foreign spuds, let's ban foreign bananas, oranges and satsumas and see how far we get. Not far, Paul. We don't think we can grow oranges over here or bananas, but spuds, we can grow spuds. And the other thing is, horticulturists tell me growing spuds enriches the soil. It makes the soil more fertile. So a stem tuber, isn't it? A potato. So maybe that's the thing to do. We could do it. I mean, let's face it. If we banned spuds, if we banned foreign spuds, look how much plastic we'd save. Because all those foreign spuds come in plastic. Look at all the food miles. We could boast. We could show the world, couldn't we? If we're virtue signalling, we could virtue signal about only Manx spuds. And we could make Manx spuds world famous. Guaranteed to be on the news all over the world for a couple of days. The Isle of Man bans foreign spuds and will only eat its own spuds in the future. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. What a lovely day, as Robert said. Beautiful out there, isn't it?
It's gorgeous. I just hope it's, you know, tomorrow isn't what they say it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. In terms of health, I think vitamin D levels, if they're not being tested anywhere, which they're not, except I think the latest UK NHS, which I think the Isle of Man adopts, is it's only if you've got osteomalacia or osteoporosis and not interested in asymptomatic symptoms of testing for vitamin D, which is odd because prevention is always better than cure.
So how do you get tested for vitamin D? What do you do if you actually want, presumably it's private, presumably it costs money.
Well, yes. But I have heard some people have sort of dug their heels in at the GP and said, I want a vitamin D test. So, and some of them have had it. So it's quite interesting. But then you have to look past what the recommended level is and realise that you have to be a bit higher than that recommended level if you really actually want to be able to fight off things like the flu. And also dental caries in kids apparently is associated with low vitamin D levels because the kids right. are just as susceptible, especially at this time of year. So, and by the way, the flu shot, I think the chap who spoke earlier has not read the Cleveland Clinic study, Effectiveness of the Influenza Vaccine During the 24-25 Respiratory Viral Season. Conclusion. The study found that influenza vaccine of working-aged adults was associated with a higher risk of influenza during the 24-25 respiratory viral season, suggesting that the vaccine has not been effective in preventing influenza this season. So it's always a matter of catch-up, isn't it, with these things, because they're not relying on your natural immunity anymore and a boosted immunity if you're at the right vitamin D level. So it's always a case of them having to guess which is the strain that's going to provide a problem. Right. So, I don't know.
I must stress, you don't have a medical qualification, do you, Julian?
No, neither did Catherine Magson. She had a PhD in music from Cambridge, I think.
Oh, so, I know. And talking of Catherine Magson, somebody pointed out to me the other day, if you go to Catherine Magson's LinkedIn, doesn't mention the Isle of Man anywhere. Strange.
Got to ask the question why.
Maybe just bad memory, that's all.
Well, yes, better forgotten probably. I agree with everything that Juan said earlier. Just mentioning Gary Cluett, I spoke to Alex yesterday about this amazing assertion from Gary Cluett during the session in Tynwald last week that wheat protein had been reduced by 65% due to elevated CO2 levels. So I had a look at why he said that, come up with a rather sort of untangled it. So there is a secondary review paper by a chap called Giatan Ugwa Akeli. He stated, elevated CO2 conditions have shown protein reductions of up to 65%, and then brackets, and his quote is Myers et al. 2014 study. So if you go and look at Samuel Myers's study from 2014, which is called Rising Concentration of Atmospheric CO2 Threatens Human Nutrition, he states that in their test, the reduction was 6.3%. And there is no justification as to why this secondary review, it's the only one in existence, has come up with this idea that it's a 65% reduction in protein in wheat. And I mentioned to Alex yesterday, you know, when you look at the bread on the shelf, the normal bread, it bears no resemblance to how we used to have bread when, you know, they used to sort of stone mill it, and they used to keep the bran and the germ. But it's also interesting to note that when they're doing the study, the Myers study, it's under laboratory controlled conditions. But what they don't mention is that if the CO2 levels go up, the plants need nitrogen to keep up with the protein. So if that's the case, why has the UK introduced the nitrate regulations, which limit the amount of nitrogen in the soil? Because, you know, if you know what I mean, it's kind of like, why are they limiting nitrogen in the soil?
Well, presumably because they just want to stop people putting so much fertilizer on the artificial fertilizer on the soil.
Yeah, but you know, when you have these laboratory conditions, it doesn't take into account how in the old days you used to sow clover to fix nitrogen in the soil. Yeah, they don't do that now, not particularly. And then you don't have rotational things with cattle, which, you know, with the manure and everything in the soil. And just one other thing. I notice on the 13th, which is just a few days ago, the UK government is mandating folic acid as a supplement in bread with any manufacturer who's turning over more than 500 tons of flour a year. And the problem with that is that almost half the population has a gene which is called MTHFR. And it's basically a problem with an enzyme where you don't metabolize properly folic acid into what you should be having in your body, which is folate, which you get from dark leafy green vegetables like spinach and broccoli. And your problem with this is if you can't metabolize it, you end up with a lot of this unmetabolized folic acid around in your body. And this can be associated with things like a 17 times increase in autism if the pregnant woman's having a lot of folic acid and they also happen to have this 45% of the population gene mutation. So we're going to have to look at the packaging to see. I would imagine any day now you'll notice a subtle addition to the supermarket breads, you know, because it won't apply to the smaller millers, you know, the ones that do under 500 tons of flour. So if you look carefully at the moment, the old stock won't have it yet, but any day now it's going to start saying folic acid, so you can't get away from it.
All right.
Interesting. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Sally just dropped a note in and said, how do potatoes make the soil better? Surely they were taking goodness out of the soil. Actually, no. Potatoes contribute to soil health by improving the structure and fertility. Their nutrient-rich crops, a stem tuber, enhances soil fertility, structure, and overall health. Spuds of what's called a high carbon exchange capacity, which means they can hold onto and release nutrients into the soil, making them available to other plants. So not only do they taste nice, but they make the soil better. If you put spuds into the soil, they increase the soil's organic matter by almost a fifth and reduce soil compaction by about a third. That means they basically increase the population of beneficial microorganisms in the soil, essential for soil health and plants. So plant spuds, not only do you get nutritious, nice vegetables, and of course they're vegan, but you make the soil better. The government should put import quotas on produce, says Andy. Any produce that can be grown here, there should be restrictions on importing. Look how much is imported and reserve, say 20% for local produce. Why can't this happen? Surely Claire Barber would let us know. We can buy vitamin D test kits, apparently, says Malcolm. Get them in the chemist to do vitamin D. After researching land-based wind farms, there is an initial impact on the environment during the making of them and the initial construction phase. This is WhatsApp at 857. But then after that, they have a very relatively low carbon footprint compared to gas, coal, and oil-fueled electric power plants. The statistics can easily be found on a trusted website called the Crown Estate, says Big John, informed in Ramsey.
This Christmas, take the pressure off your plate and let the Isle of Man Creamery bring the best of local goodness straight to your door. Fresh milk and dairy, pastries, coffee, Ross Bakery loaves, eggs, potatoes and more. Look out for Christmas specials like Noah Bakehouse mince pies and Oakle's smoked porter mature cheddar. Sit back and let Christmas come to you. Order now via the app at isleofmancreamery.com/deliveries.
When the ordinary just won't do, make your meal out truly iconic at the restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel. An expertly crafted menu full to the brim with delicious, freshly cooked starters, mains, sides and desserts, with daily chef specials and their famous ginger roast every Sunday. The restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel, Sulby. Open Wednesday to Saturday for evening meals and Friday to Sunday for lunch. Find us online for full seasonal opening times. Dining at the Ginger Hall. You'll want it all.
Some say I only work one day a year, but there's so much more to what I do, as with any business. That's why I use Nicola Bowker & Co. so you can have a very happy Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services. Whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries, Ellen Vanning Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week with daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion. We can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
The Net Zero referendum debate was discussed and soundly defeated using our established democratic process, says Steve. You don't get to like democracy when a vote goes your way, but then claim it's not democratic when it doesn't. I'm tired of people saying everyone is against this or that when they don't speak for everyone. They're only stating their own opinion, says Steve. Well, just as well, this is an opinion show. And it is Jane with us now. Hi, Jane.
Hello. I'm very nervous. Just a very quickie, really. And yeah, it's regarding the use of Manx produce,
yeah,
in the likes of McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and other places. Do they use Manx product? And should we allow companies in that actually just bring everything in?
Oh, I may be going out on a limb, Jane, but you can fairly well guarantee they don't use any Manx produce in fast food restaurants like McDonald's and KFC.
Right. So, I mean, it's not as though we're talking Cordon Bleu here or Michelin. It's pretty basic stuff. And I'm sure we've got enough, or could have enough beef here, enough chicken here. I know a lot of chicken producers here. Potatoes, do they use flour? Do they use anything?
No, I would say brought in? I'd say everything is brought in because they're spuds. I mean, McDonald's chips are always, though they're yellow, aren't they? They're not even white, so I'm sure they
don't.
Well,
I've only ever had one meal.
All right, they don't ever bring anything in like that. But how do we combat that, Jane? What do we do?
I think they need to make a commitment. Yes, you can come here, but we require you to do this. And frankly, it'll do possibly, maybe people's health and improvement if we're a little bit fussier with what was being used.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? And what do they call them now? Ultra-processed foods, don't they? UPFs, ultra-processed food, which apparently they've been telling us for years they're not very good for us, but they still sell them. It's a bit like when people used to sell cigarettes in the 60s.
Yeah, I'm just seeing wonderful restaurants. The three great restaurants in Ramsey closed down. Beautiful food. They closed down. Restaurants are shutting down by the quay, etc., etc. And yet you've got a snake-like queue outside these shops every single day. Sometimes same vehicles three times a day. I mean, it's not good. It's not good. Mm. At least they could support the Isle of Man. They're coming here, they're making the money, and they're sending it off again. I don't know what they're doing about their taxes, but I just think it needs investigating, and we need to be a little bit more particular who we let in.
All right, Jane, I appreciate it. Good points, well made. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye.
Good to hear from you.
Merry Christmas from everyone at Laxey School.
Eric's on now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. I just wanted to talk about the call I made to the Chief Minister on Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, he seemed a bit kind of unaware, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But what I would like to say is I'd like to apologise. I've listened back to it, to the tone of what I was saying on Friday. I was getting very annoyed, and I don't think it was right the way I spoke. I'm not apologising for what I said, it's just the way I said it, you know, but didn't seem to know anything about it, and I haven't heard anything since, but that's what I wanted to say
And again, I don't want to put words into the Chief Minister's... I'm sure he's had worse inside Keys, but the fact is, everybody who listens to Man in Line knows this is very, very close to your heart.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something else I wanted to bring up while I'm here. I get a newsletter from it's a disabled group in England. And one of the things, and I've checked since I've seen it, pedestrian crossings, and the research shows in England that pedestrian crossings are set at 7 seconds for a person to walk across the road on the green man when that's there. Now, they've done research in England. 7 seconds isn't long enough for the elderly or disabled. And what they recommend in England, there's a very minor change, that the seconds need to be at 9 seconds instead of 7 seconds. I've tried a few of the zebra crossings here. I've looked at them and timed them. And most of them are all set at 7 seconds. So I'm going to do a bit more research on that, but it's something I'll be coming back to you with, because 7 seconds isn't long enough for elderly, not just disabled, elderly people to get across the road. So I'll do more research, and then I'll be back to you, and I'll see what the highways say.
All right, Eric, good to hear from you. Thanks as always. Cheers now.
Okay, thanks, then.
16 minutes before one. Alan said, I heard that story on the Manx News about Jewish people on the Isle of Man not feeling safe. I'm horrified and upset that Jewish people on the Isle of Man don't feel safe. We as islanders must surely stand with them and keep vigilant on their behalf. There's no place for anti-Semitism in this world, especially here on the Isle of Man, says Alan. And Patricia dropped a note in, thinking back to during and after the war, the second war that'll be, just about all Manx farmers were growing spuds and vegetables. There were several fruit and vegetable wholesalers that collected crates of the vegetable to supply the shops. Many farmers had their vegetable rounds house to house. Potatoes cleaned the soil for rotation of crops. Seaweed was a good fertilizer, along with manure from the farm animals. So why don't we crack on? Why is there not a bacon factory by the abattoir? And what's happened to all the offal from the abattoir? Would you like me to carry on? Patricia, I appreciate it. And these are all points that you know, when people... you can't have it both ways. You can't bring potatoes in plastic from halfway around the world and then say that we need to be net zero. You know, this is all part of the same continuum. It's the, you know, this is the nexus that goes through it all. Are we going to reduce our food miles, or aren't we going to reduce our food miles? When the Isle of Man has got very fertile soil that can grow vegetables by the thousands of tons. Remember, there's all that soil that used to grow milling wheat. Now we don't grow milling wheat because we don't have Laxey Glen Mills. Well, we do, but it's just storing flour and grain. And we don't have Ramsey Bakery anymore. So what do you think we should do with this? I'm not being flippant about this. It was Michael's point, and I thought he was having a joke when he first said we should ban foreign spuds. We should grow our own. We have farmers who are perfectly capable of growing thousands of tons of spuds. We don't need to import lots and lots of spuds. It's just one more thing that we could do if we're absolutely dead set on reducing our carbon footprint. Then why not do it?
The nights are getting darker, and you know what that means. It's nearly Christmas. At Millichaps, you'll find all you need to add that sparkle this festive season. Decorate your home with quirky ornaments, fabulous rugs and lamps, and beautiful pictures. Millichaps also have a great range of unusual gifts, so don't delay. Call Santa, is that you?
Shh! Ooh, there's some great finds here at Millichaps.
Yes, there are. Take time to browse Millichaps of Ramsey, a town full of special little shops.
This winter, Manx Petroleum will keep the island warm. For the homemakers, for the bedtime storytellers, for the work-at-homers, and for the careful spenders. This winter, the island's longest-serving distributor will be warming thousands of homes with our premium heating oil. With minimum orders from just 250 litres to keep your outgoings low, Manx Petroleum, always here for you. For details and ordering, visit mp.im.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho! All of us at Man Benham want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy and Healthy New Year. We look forward to helping you next year. Ho, ho, ho!
We wish you a Merry Christmas from Man Benham.
Darker days and damper conditions require more action. Make sure you carry out your vehicle safety checks this winter. Think powders. P. Petrol and diesel. O. Oil. W. Water. D. Damage. E. Electrics. R. Rubber. S. Self.
Make sure your lights are all working too. Brought to you by Quayside Tyres in conjunction with Isle of Man Road Safety.
A Gilg, the Manx Gaelic, Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Elian Vanin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, it's 11 minutes before one. It's Tuesday afternoon. Here's Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi Andy. I just wanted to touch on something that I always get confused in terms, June or Julian, and he was talking about the scaremongering that Gary Cluett. Yes. Just scaremongering about companies leaving the Isle of Man if the Isle of Man decided not to follow the net zero. And that's just absolute rubbish. And I'll tell you why it's absolute rubbish. Most of the companies that he mentioned are wealth management companies. And many of them will have offices in Dubai, the Middle East, Malaysia, Hong Kong, America, where most of those countries I've mentioned are still exploring oil and gas rapidly and servicing the energy needs of the UK. Yeah. And for him to suggest that those companies would leave is absolute nonsense. Yes, most of them will have ESG policies, but a company's ESG policy navigates their way around the political environments of the time. And interestingly, Lloyd's of London, the world's largest insurer, has actually removed the terminology in their documents of net zero. It's no longer an objective because they believe it's political and they do not want to be involved in politics. So nobody, you don't have to be against net zero, and you can be against net zero, but also working towards a lower carbon world. And I think what everybody's getting frustrated about at the moment, that it seems Timwald, and I used the word radical before, are absolute zealots with regards to this pursuit. I'm for renewables. I used to be very much for wind. The jury's out in it now, and I think most people are starting to doubt it because it doesn't have the base load we need. And I think eventually, whether we like it or not, we are going to go to nuclear. But for him to suggest that the wealth managers that he mentioned would leave the Isle of Man is absolute rubbish. And I think I've heard it before. Jane Poole Wilson's mentioned it before on the radio, that yeah, we've got to pursue these net zero targets to align with other organisations on the Isle of Man. It's rubbish. A lot of the individuals who actually contribute money to the wealth management companies themselves may be working in the oil and gas industry, may be working in the mining industry. Will they stop accepting their money because they're not actually working for what they consider net zero companies? I work for an aggregate company, a global aggregate company. They have an ESG policy. They manufacture cement. Cement is highly carbon intensive. What's happened is that cement no longer gets, well, it has been drastically reduced, the manufacturing of cement in the UK. It's now manufactured in Africa and imported into the UK. Is that environmentally sound? Going to a country where you're going to have less rules and regulations? What's happening? This net zero pursuit is actually worsening because everything is being pushed to countries where there's less rules and regulations. I just want to say that because every single MHK seems to be who are anti oil and gas keep mentioning this. Oh, companies will leave the Isle of Man. That's absolute rubbish.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll look at that further and just find out. Maybe it's time to talk to some of those companies and say whether they would or not.
I think it would. Absolutely. I think it would. They have an ESG policy. Of course, they're going to be environmentally conscious. But would they actually leave the Isle of Man if the Isle of Man decided not to pursue a net zero policy like other countries they operate in? Rubbish.
Okay.
All right, Andy, sorry.
Good to hear from you, Mark. No, good to hear from you, Mark. Thanks for calling today. I got a note in from Gwen who just said maybe instead of doing that, some of those companies, why don't they just give Beach Buddies £100,000 a year? That would solve. I mean, Bill Dale will be over the moon with that. In fact, he's probably just driven off the road. Does anybody know why the traffic stopped on Douglas to Peel Road near Greba Castle? They're accused back as far as I can see. Is that true? Is it still there's a problem near Greba? Tony said, Andy, the airport's an embarrassment the way that senior management run it. Any other business would get rid of the dead wood immediately. That's the problem. If it's in the public sector, nobody seems accountable. Gaz said, Mr. Cannon was asked about his proposed breakup of the DOI. His response was that all he could give us was an airport board has been set up. I've never had flu as well, says... it's an email or is it a WhatsApp? Anyway, it's from 614 who just said, I'm 58 and I've never had flu. Outsource export ground forces to save a penny and lose a pound. And how come oil has come down by $15 a barrel, yet fuel has gone up? It's just one of those things, isn't it? Good idea about growing our own spuds. Jersey can do it, so let's have more Manx potatoes. The humble spud, says Mary. Not only that, they taste absolutely fantastic.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
WhatsApp 805 says, Andy, look, if legislation were passed for the sole use of Manx produce, then people like Costa, KFC, Tesco, McDonald's would disappear off the Isle of Man and inflation would rocket, says George. Well, let's not say sole use then. But, I mean, start with spuds, the humble spud. I mean, surely they're not making that much money on spuds. I mean, surely Marks and Spencer and Tesco make a lot more money on other things. But Manx spud, what's wrong with the Manx spud? It can hold its own. It can proudly stand amongst spuds around the world. So why not? it would give us a chance, wouldn't it, to reintroduce spuds and herring. Why don't we import more vegetables here? There's far too much imported food over here. It's ridiculous. We should support the farmers, says 068. It's probably down to money, isn't it? Because lots of stuff can be grown at scale elsewhere and can be imported, and the big companies are fairly adept at sourcing stuff at the lowest possible price. Would you be prepared? Let's just say that foreign spuds were banned and you could only buy Manx spuds. However, they were just a bit more expensive than the other ones you could get. Would you do that, knowing that it was for the good of the Isle of Man? It's a bit like net zero, isn't it? It's not going to make that much more difference to the Isle of Man, but it makes you feel better. Now, apply that to the humble spud and see how you feel. Vegetables are a bulk food. The steam packet needs to transport as much bulk freight as possible. That's what the government wants, says WhatsApper 348. These potatoes are beautiful and produced on the Isle of Man. Ah, the old Sagittar. And produced, and Tesco now sell them. Before, we could only get them from Robinson's or ShopRite, but they're great for mash and chipping. Thank you, Hillary and Farm Hill. Those are the ones that were given away free at the Southern Show once upon it. Was it last year? The Big Mac came here to do was that they would use a percentage of Manx beef, which was a sort of a quarter with a long flank. After a few months, they stopped buying our beef, says Graham. Is that true? Hey, that's it. Thanks to Lexi on the phones today. Going to be back tomorrow with another open line. Don't forget, Nick the Pharmacist on Thursday. WINT.